G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
This podcast is made available by Vision Christian Media, thanks to the generosity of our supporters. Your donation today means great podcasts like this remain available to help people look to God daily. Please make your donation to Visionathon today at vision.org.au.
Selfishness. I want my way. Don't let that dominate your marriage.
Today in A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie explains that selfishness is often at the core of the troubles people have in their marriage.
Extramarital sex, selfishness. Making decisions without consulting your partner, selfishness. Marriage is falling apart, selfishness. We want what we want. Jesus Christ says, be unselfish, humble yourself.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Is never a successful arena for a me-first mentality. Marriage works best when spouses are givers. Famous American journalist Diane Sawyer put it well. She said, a good marriage is a contest of generosity. And today in A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us to see how that plays out in real life. It's a look at the Bible's prescription for loving selflessness in marriage, a plan crafted by the creator of marriage. And why not invite your spouse to listen with you today?
Okay, grab your Bible. We're going to look at two passages together, Ephesians 5 and Philippians 2. Ephesians 5 and Philippians 2. And the title of my message is Four Words That Can Change Your Marriage. Wonder if you can think of what they might be. A couple of people opined on this on my Facebook page. I said, can you guess what they are? One guy said, sorry, honey, you're right. That's not bad. Another said, here are four words that can change your marriage. Only a guy would say this. Make me a sandwich. That will not change your marriage. Let's see if we can find them now. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Here they are, really. Husbands, love your wives. Those are the four words. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with a washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We'll stop there. Notice four times in eight verses, men are simply told to love their wives. How are we to love our wives? As Christ loved the church. Now we have a great example of that in scripture in many places, but let's go to a passage now, Philippians 2, and let's see how Christ loves the church. Now later, Paul writes, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here's now what it is to have the mind of Christ in your marriage. Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill my joy, Paul writes, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. A more modern translation puts it this way. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow. Do these words ever fly in the face of conventional wisdom today? I mean, our culture says, man, look out for number one. Doesn't matter how you get to number one, what you have to say about a person, what you have to do, what corners you have to cut, just get there, because it's all about you. What does the Bible say we should do? Verse 4, don't look out for your own interests, look out for the interests of others. Well, that flies in the face of every culture and philosophy we've ever heard. Look back historically. Greece said, be wise, know yourself. Rome said, be strong, discipline yourself. Epicureanism, the pursuit of pleasure, says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Psychology says, be confident, assert yourself. Materialism says, be possessive, please yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Jesus Christ says, be unselfish, humble yourself. That's the Bible in contrast to the world. You're thinking, oh, Greg, give me a break. Do you live in the real world? If I humble myself, I'll never get ahead. If I humble myself, I'll be taken advantage of. Wait, hold on right there. Here's what the Bible says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. This is what God says. I think I want to do it God's way. If you were to boil down the problems in most marriage, or the problem, I might say, in most marriages, I would identify it as one word, selfishness. Selfishness. And if you want to know the solution to most marriages that are having problems, I would put another word in its place, selflessness. That's what we're talking about here, substituting selflessness for selfishness.
You're listening to A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. Some really good practical stuff today as we continue with this insight called Four Words That Can Change Your Marriage.
So what do we learn here from what Paul's written in Philippians? Number one, don't allow your marriage to be driven by selfishness. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Most conflicts are a result of this. James writes in James 4, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come, listen, because you want your own way and you fight for it deep inside yourselves. We're pre-wired that way. I want my way. Goes back to our childhood. Look at kids. One of the first words they learn is mine. Mine. Put a toy on the ground. Nobody cares about it. One kid picks it up, now the other one wants the same toy. And they're literally pulling on the same toy. Look, there's other toys. They want that toy. They want their own way. That's how we are. So don't let that dominate your marriage. Think of immorality and all the ways it shows itself. Premarital sex, selfishness. Extramarital sex, adultery, an affair as it's sometimes called. Selfishness. Making decisions without consulting your partner, selfishness. Marriage is falling apart, selfishness. We want what we want. It's not always an issue of one wants what's right and one wants what's wrong, though it's sometimes that. Or, you know, we're violating what the Bible says. It's difference of opinion, you know. She wants to paint the walls white and he wants to paint them black. The point is, you know, here's what I do personally. In my house, my wife, she rules, okay? So she'll say, what do you think I should do over here? I'm thinking of doing this. And I'll say, well, I think this. Well, I don't really agree with that. Okay, whatever, I'd give you my opinion. And sometimes she'll do what I said, sometimes she won't. But I let her decide. I say, Kathy, inside of the house, anything you wanna do, that's for you to decide. That's her domain. And you know, that's one way to approach it. But the point is, you need to learn how to negotiate through these things, because it's not always black or white or right or wrong. It's just a difference of opinion. Number two, put your mate above yourself in marriage. Put your mate above yourself. Verse 3, be lowly in mind and esteem others better than yourself. Another way to translate this is, be humble, thinking of others is better than yourself. Are you sitting there right now, husbands, and saying, I'm a better husband than she's a wife? Wives, are you sitting there saying, I'm a much better wife than he's a husband? You need to do a little self-check for a moment and realize that others should be put in a position of being better than you, especially your spouse in your marriage. If I know how wicked I am and what I'm capable of, how can I be so hard on other people? See, we, not our mate, are most likely the problem in our marriage. We, not our mate, are probably the problem. And then over in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul really shows how love displays itself, he says, love does not behave rudely in 1 Corinthians 13:5. You know, some guys would show more kindness toward a total stranger than that person that is bone of their bones and flesh of their flesh. You know, an attractive girl is making her way to a door. Maybe she has something in her arms and you run ahead and gallantly hold the door. She walks through, thank you, you're a gentleman. Well, thank you. Then your own wife comes home from the market. She's unloading groceries and she says, can you give me a hand? You say, you got a foot, kick the door open. What's with that? Don't tell me something like that has never happened to you before. Where do you think I get all these illustrations? From my own life. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, God's love is not provoked, which means aroused anger or a sudden outburst. Listen, if in your marriage it's been reduced to shouting matches, Houston, we have a problem. If you're hitting her or him, this is wrong and you need to stop. So you have to always raise your voice, and whenever there's a disagreement, you get really loud and you hit things and you throw things. You don't want to go there. Listen, you need to get control of yourself, because one of the things that is identified as a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. God can give you control over your temper. And if it gets to that point, then sometimes, honestly, it's good to just walk out of the room. Can I walk out for like a month? No, a month is too long. But for a few minutes to cool off, sure. But sometimes these things that, you know, they get worse and worse, and then next thing you know, the cops are called or whatever. And what a horrible thing to do to children. Don't do this to your kids, people. Don't do it, because little eyes are watching and little ears are listening. And they're picking up more than you realize. So I was raised in this environment. I've told you this before. I lived every day of my life, except when I was with my grandparents or in military school, in the presence of domestic violence, screaming, yelling, insanity. And I know how horrible that was as a kid. And I was determined, when I get married, that is not what my home is going to look like or sound like. I am not going that way. And this is a horrible thing to do to your children. This is not how love displays itself. I don't even care what the issue is. Because when it comes to a point where if someone is hit, the issue is now a non-issue, and now the new issue is, you should have never done that, you see? So you take it to a new level, don't let it go there. That's not the way that love is. Cliff Barrows, probably heard of him, longtime associate of Billy Graham. He was married to his first wife, Billy, for 49 years until she went to be with the Lord. Cliff married again, a wonderful lady named Ann, in 1995. And so in an interview, he was asked the secret to a long and happy marriage. I like what Cliff said. Here's what he said, quote, I think there are 9 words we should be willing to say every day. Here they are. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. That's good advice. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And then he adds an additional 4 words that are often helpful too. It was my fault. It was my fault. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, turn to your spouse, turn to him. Say this, it was my fault. I'm sorry. I love you. See? It helps, doesn't it? You know, you can be in a big conflict and you're like, you know, she's yelling or you're yelling or whatever it is, and then you just look at him and say, you know what? I was wrong. I love you. Diffused. Didn't take you that long, did it? These are simple truths that we can apply in our lives to love as God wants us to love. So love your mate, honor them. Who's the greatest example of loving we ought to love? Well, I am. And no, I've just written a new book, Humility and How I Found It. I made all that up. We laugh because it's absurd. But I'll tell you who the person is. You already know. Who is the greatest example of humility and love? Who? Take a guess. Perfect. Let's read on in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was God among us. He was not man becoming a God. That's impossible. He was God becoming man. He never voided his deity, but he veiled it. He sort of hid it, but he still was God. Which is so amazing when you look at how he served others, always had time for others, always helping others. Even in the upper room, he got down on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. That's normally what a servant would do. That's incredible. And by the way, he also washed Judas's feet, and that's right before Judas betrayed him. If I was Jesus, I would not have washed Judas's feet. I would have broken his feet. Then I would have said, yeah, try betraying me now. See how that works out. No, he washed his feet. He was humility, loving, a servant. And then he made the ultimate sacrifice by going to the cross and dying there for our sin. Yes, we're to love our wife as Christ loves the church. And there's no greater example of love ever shown in the universe than the love of God for humanity by sending his son to die on the cross in our place. And the son willingly going and taking the sin of the world. If he just took my sin, it would have been bad enough. If we added your sin or just the sin of those listening today, it would have been more than enough. But he took the sin of the whole planet upon himself. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And now he stands at the door of our hearts and he knocks and says, if we'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. Let's all bow our heads. Everybody praying everywhere. Father, thank you for your word to us. And I pray for any person here that does not know you, help them to come to you. Help them to believe in you. Help them to be forgiven of all of their sins right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer. And if you know that you need to make a change today in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg can help you to do that right now.
In the book of Isaiah, we read these words, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous man their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Listen, that's God's word to you. And let me address this to the person who has never asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. Why don't you do it now? That verse says, seek the Lord while he may be found. God has touched your heart today, perhaps, and you've thought, I need this relationship with the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to make that commitment to Christ. No, don't wait for one of these days. This is the day. This is your moment. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Listen, God is near to you, and he is ready to come into your life. And there's another part of this verse when it says, let us return to the Lord. I want to also extend an invitation to you that have fallen away from your faith. You've fallen away from the Lord, and you need to make a recommitment. So if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to go to heaven when you die, or if you've fallen away from the Lord and you want to return to him, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I also know that you are a savior and I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Be my Savior, be my Lord, be my God, and be my friend. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I want you to know on the authority of Scripture, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, Christ has heard you and he has forgiven you. So God bless you.
Well, thanks, Pastor Greg. And we'd love to help you to begin to grow in your new walk of faith. We'd love to send you some resource materials called our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll answer some of the questions you might have and also get you started off right. Get in touch for your New Believers Growth Packet. We'll send it free of charge if you've prayed with Pastor Greg for the first time today. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. The team would also love to pray with you. That's 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. Well, next time, as Pastor Greg continues, he has some counsel aimed primarily at wives. More insight from his Christian family series called Home Sweet Home, next time on A New Beginning. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called Four Words That Can Change Your Marriage. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where it's available as a podcast. Or for a copy on CD, contact Vision Christian Store on 1-800-005011 or visionstore.org.au. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.